This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We went from the middle of summer to late fall in a hurry. And we're going to go outdoors with Steve Kearney. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, you find that winter gear.
Good afternoon, Steve. I am not a happy guy. I don't like this weather. It's horrible. I had the air conditioning on last week and the heat's right on this week. And, oh, my goodness, it's it was a hard week. But it was a great opener. Last Saturday was really fantastic day. Beautiful weather day. Caught a bunch of walleyes and crappies down by the Glenwood area. Picked a good lake, picked a small farm lake, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, 300-400 acres. Quite a few people there, surprisingly, but fishing was great. And then Sunday, the weather kind of went south, and I think everybody kind of bailed on Sunday, and nobody really fished on Sunday. And so it was kind of a tough weekend for everybody. We just didn't get 2 full days, but yeah, it was a tough week. This whole week, we've had tons of wind, 40 mile an hour winds every day. So it's been a tough, excruciating week, but I see something looks a little bit better next week, middle of next week. I think it's going to moderate, so we'll get back at it.
Yeah, and I would assume that with this front and the storms, et cetera, the bite is really shut down.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we got a heck of a northwest wind that came in last night. And, you know, it's too bad because this is really a tremendous time to be on the water. This mid-May, late May is such a great time. But we're just, you know, we're just so afflicted with this weather change. And, you know, the water temperatures probably dropped 4 or 5 degrees. And, you know, the crappies are still trying to spawn. They're kind of coming in. They're going out. They're not getting that ideal temperature for them to spawn. So it's kind of like they're on one day, they're off the next day. It's just, you know, just been just erratic. And the walleyes, you know, definitely spawned a couple of weeks ago. They're done. They're dispersed. And it looks like the way things are is they're starting to move to this early summer pattern, especially with that 95 degrees we had for like 5-6 days, kind of propelled the growth of the weeds, and that's starting to come up. So yeah, it's a tough one right now. And again, I don't know what this, you know, cold is going to do to the water temperatures. It might, you know, set us back maybe a week or possibly 10 days. It's hard to say until, you know, maybe a couple of days we'll be able to assess it, but it's supposed to be 34, 35 for a low tonight in Lakes Country. And, that's not good, but you know, it'll rebound like it always does. And it looks like Wednesday, you know, this coming week, we're going to have 4 awesome 5 days in a row, light winds, good temperatures. So it's going to moderate and we'll have some really good consistent weather next week, and that'll get the bite going again.
Yeah, and you're not kidding. A frost advisory for a huge part of the state doesn't include the Twin Cities metro area, but St. Cloud, Wilmer, points west, well into South Dakota, most of North Dakota, and then just about all of northern Minnesota. And there are some scattered spots that have freeze warnings, including the Arrowhead part of the state of Minnesota. And I'm looking at the temp up in Grand Marais. Along the lake, you should be okay, but they're thinking there could be some snowflakes overnight, and that rain-snow mix will continue in Grand Marais on Sunday with a high of 41 degrees. Wow.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. You know, the fish on Saturday on opener were in about 3 feet of water, and it's going to be interesting when I get back at it in a couple of days to see if they're still there. You know, there could be a chance, you know, that they've moved, mainly because of the high winds that's just been changing, you know, the water temperatures and moving the food around. And, you know, with all the things going on, it'll be really interesting to see if these fish are still shallow. They could be, but they may not be. So we're kind of in this flux situation of we don't really know where they're going to be or what they're going to do this week just because of the weather.
Yeah, and we really got a break with this year's opener because traditionally the opener can be very tough due to water temps and unsettled weather, and that really continues through Memorial Day. You know, you're really thinking about primetime open water fishing being in June, right, Steve?
Well, yeah, usually, you know, mid-May, late May is, you know, very consistent, but we just haven't had any consistency whatsoever. It's just been so up and down. But hopefully it'll stabilize here. And, you know, Memorial's not that far away, which is really kind of the peak of the best fishing of the season. But, you know, we'll see what happens here in the next week. That's going to really set the stage for Memorial just to see if these fish rebound and get into their early summer patterns and get where they're supposed to be. They may not be where they're supposed to be because of this, you know, weather we've had in the last 2 weeks. So it'll be an adventure, Steve. We'll find them somewhere. It just might take a little longer this time.
All right, Steve, and I would assume, especially when the weather settles down, it'll be a very busy week for you, and then prime time, you're going to probably be going just about every day.
Yes, you know, Steve, Wednesday to Saturday of this next coming week is going to be ideal, and I'm really looking forward to it. So we'll be hitting it hard at the end of the week, and then we'll certainly talk next Saturday.
All right, it is a deal. Steve Kearney joining us. StepeKearneyOutdoors.com joining us. And once again, stay warm wherever you are. A big part of the state under a frost advisory overnight tonight. We'll talk more about that in the weather at the bottom of the hour. Around the corner, Timberwolves are in the Western Conference Finals for the second year in a row. The East Finals are set, Indiana and New York. We'll go at it. Old friend Carl Anthony Towns with the Knicks. They've made it through, so it'll be the Knicks and the Pacers. The winner on to the NBA Finals. The Timberwolves will find out their opponent tomorrow. That'll be the Nuggets and the Thunder in a Game 7 tomorrow afternoon. Chris Hine will join in a moment from the Star Tribune here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Three spots are set in the conference finals in the NBA. In the East, Carl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson, and the New York Knicks take on the Indiana Pacers. In the East and in the West, it'll be the Minnesota Timberwolves against either Denver or Oklahoma City. That will be decided tomorrow. And to talk Timberwolves and more, Chris Hine covers the club for the Star Tribune. And Chris, here we are. Steph Curry not available outside of a short stretch in Game 1. Timberwolves were terrible that night. After that, the Timberwolves run the table. And even with Curry, the deeper, more talented team, when you have an all-time great, you never know how this series would have played out. But I still like the Timberwolves' chances in round one and again in round two, and they prevail in advance.
Yeah, I think this was something that we were concerned about with the team, was just if an opportunity presented itself or, you know, a team is shorthanded, things like that, they tended to take their foot off the gas pedal, lose focus. You know, during the regular season, how many times did they lose to teams that they probably should have beaten? But, you know, credit to them in this series when Steph goes down, you know, and with the timeline being that he could potentially come back for game six, the Wolves had a week to win four games, and they won all four games before Steph could potentially get back in the series. They took care of business, and, you know, they ended it in five games. Much different scenario from last season at this time when they were in a seven-game slugfest with Denver, you know, a series that left them I think, while elated, I think worn down a little bit. Now it feels like they have a lot of energy. They're going to have some rest here, plenty of rest before game one of the next round starts on Tuesday.
Yeah, and you brought up one of those teams that I think caught everyone by surprise, and that was Indiana. I don't think any of their starters played here at Target Center later in the year. Indiana won that game. And anybody who's paid attention knows this Indiana Pacers team is a real deal. Anybody who's anointed the Knicks as the Eastern Conference entrant in the finals, I don't know about that. Indiana's going to give them trouble.
That's going to be a fascinating series, just stylistically. with Indiana, with how fast they like to play, pushing the ball, and the Knicks, a little more of a half court oriented team, but superstars on the Knicks side, Tyrese Halliburton, and a very strong supporting cast on the other. Maybe a deeper team in Indiana on the other end of the floor. I'm really excited for that series because I think it's just going to be, from a basketball standpoint, a clash of styles and who's going to win out. What do the Knicks do with Mitchell Robinson in that series? How much is he? Because he was such a big factor in that Celtics series. How's Cat going to play? Just a great, great basketball series, Indiana, New York, for sure.
If they handed out a playoff MVP to this point, is it Jalen Brunson? I mean, there's been a lot of great performances. The Timberwolves, Julius Randle was great in the second round, and we'll talk more about him. We all know about Ant and what he's brought to the table, but boy, Brunson is kind of put the Knicks on his back, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, he's the clutch player of the year for a reason. You think about the shot that ended the Detroit series, some of the moments earlier in the Boston series, and, just the way that he controls the game, the way that he's able to get to whatever he wants to get to, how it's hard to defend him without fouling. It's like a less frustrating version of watching James Harden about 10, 12 years ago, without as much foul drawing and foul baiting and things like that. Like, Brunson still draws a lot of fouls and things like that. But I find him more aesthetically pleasing to watch his game than, the way James Harden was getting to the free throw line back in the day.
Chris Hine joining us, covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune. The finals will start the conference finals will start on Tuesday. The East goes on Wednesday. Will it be the Nuggets? Will it be the Thunder? We'll find out tomorrow. And I would assume Timberwolves fans are going to be tuned in to that game tomorrow afternoon on ABC and find out who the opponent will be. And that's been quite a series.
Yeah, it has. And, a lot of ebbs and flows in that series. I think a big thing tomorrow, what's going on with Aaron Gordon? Is he available? Is he not available? Is he, I doubt he's going to be 100% just based on what we've been seeing and hearing coming out of Denver the last couple of days. And if Denver wins, either in spite of Gordon being out or with Gordon maybe not being 100%, what does that mean for the next series with the Wolves? So that's something to keep an eye on tomorrow should Denver advance, is just what is it like for Aaron Gordon, because I think winning one game without Aaron Gordon, or potentially with a very limited Aaron Gordon, that's doable, right? Especially when you have Nikola Jokic on the other side or on your team. But winning a whole series potentially if Aaron Gordon is out or limited by that hamstring is another matter. So if Denver moves on, that's going to be a huge question going forward for Oklahoma City. The team with the highest net rating in the regular season, 68 wins and all this stuff. But the playoffs have been a struggle. This is a struggle for them in the second round for the second consecutive year that they're the one seed. And now they may not make it out of the second round. It's can they figure out how to consistently win these close games? That's been an issue for them. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander maybe not getting quite the numbers, especially from the free throw line, that he was getting in the regular season. teams are blitzing him, making him give the ball up, and the Thunder just haven't really had a consistent second threat. Jalen Williams has had his moments, but, you know, game six, he struggled to shoot from the floor and the Thunder lost. So a lot of question marks around the Thunder should they advance, but they are deep and they do have a great defense that can cause a lot of turnovers and a lot of problems for the Wolves if that is the matchup.
Chris Hine joining us from the Star Tribune on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Is it youth with Oklahoma City? Because they're scary. I mean, they're still an extremely young team. Is it just them trying to figure out what it takes at this time of year, or is that a bit of a cliche?
I don't think it's a bit of a cliche, but I do think, you know, I think the success of role players, especially when it comes to hitting shots and being consistent in scoring in the playoffs, that tends to be a little more, there's a little more variance in that. I feel like in the regular season, you know, when you're facing 30 or 29 different teams and, you know, you're facing a lot of bad teams, it's easier for role players to succeed in those games, right? In the playoffs, when everybody's good, I think your depth is tested a little more because, you know, the variance of them being able to score home versus road splits, however you want to break it down, that tends to be a little more dramatic in the playoffs. So that's why you need stars to come through. And that's why the play of Julius Randle right now as a very strong number two to Anthony Edwards, it has been the story of the postseason for the Timberwolves, the way that Julius Randle has played, because they have not just Ant as a primary scoring option, but now Julius is that guy that, quite frankly, Oklahoma City does not have right now, right, on a consistent basis. The question with Julius was, could he do this consistently? And he has shown in these 10 playoff games that, yes, he is up to the task of being a reliable scorer, creator, like, playmaker late in games, throughout the course of a game, if things are going haywire. Oklahoma City, Jalen Williams is supposed to be that guy. He hasn't quite been that guy for them, and that's why Oklahoma City's in the position they're in right now, and the Wolves are in the position they're in.
Yeah, and Julius Randle and what he did in the second round in Golden State and how well he played is one of those things where you can kind of look at this trade. Hey, it worked out well for New York. They have Cat. They're in the conference finals. And the Timberwolves have Julius Randle, and Dante DiVincenzo has been a contributor as well. But not like Randle. He was just terrific in that second-round series.
It's been eye-opening. It really has been. And, you know, we saw it the last 21 games of the season. We've made a lot of, you know, how Julius has played since he came back from injury. The Wolves were 17-4 after he came back. They get to the sixth seed. And I think he's leveled up even in the postseason. I think, you know, there were nights in that 17-4 stretch where he could have a big night scoring, but the assists may not be there, or the assists were there and the scoring necessarily wasn't there, but it's all there in the postseason. Right now, like, he's scoring in large numbers. He's getting large numbers of assists every game. And I think it's really taken a lot of the pressure off of Anthony Edwards. I think that's another benefit to having Julius Randle on this team as opposed to throwing Anthony Towns for this specific playoff run. As good as Cat is, and Cat demands a lot of attention from opposing defenses, he's not quite the creator that Julius Randle is. He doesn't really create for other teammates and look to have the high number of assists that Julius Randle does. That alleviates a lot of pressure on Anthony Edwards to always be that guy who's attracting the attention of the defense and making plays off of it. When Julius Randle can do the same thing and attract double teams in the post and pass out of it and find open teammates, that's a huge burden off the shoulders of Anthony Edwards for stretches of these games. And I think it's one reason why, you know, I think going into the conference finals now, Ant probably has a little more in the tank. Last year, if you remember, he complained that he was out of gas when the Western Conference Finals was over. I think this time around, because of Julius Randle, I think Anthony Edwards probably has a little more energy this time of year than he did a year ago.
Yeah, good times 2 years in a row, considering where this franchise has been over the years since the Kevin Garnett era ended, for them to go to the conference finals, especially in the West. I mean, you're talking about a tremendous amount of talent, and you can't take this for granted. It's hard to get to the conference finals 2 years in a row. There's so many factors in all of this, and then injuries being the big one.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, let's just take a look at, you know, the Wolves going 20 plus years without ever getting there. This is just the third time in franchise history. I mean,
right. It
may have seemed like a quote unquote easy road because Stephen Curry got hurt, but, you know, this is playoff basketball just isn't easy in general. There were times during that series where the Warriors could have stolen one or two of those games, especially the games out in San Francisco. And the Wolves took care of business, you know, as a playoff caliber basketball team should. I remember, you know, that Memphis series 3 years ago when the Wolves blew multiple double-digit 20-point leads in multiple games of that series. And, you know, people were beside themselves, like, how could they lose all these big leads? Well, you know, 3 years later, I think they've learned from some of those mistakes, and they're a little more mature in those moments, because there were some hairy moments in this Warriors series where they were losing a lead or they were down late. And, you know, think of game five, the Warriors cut it to 9 in the fourth quarter. You know, 3 years ago in that Memphis series, Memphis comes back and wins that kind of game. This time around, you know, Ant hits a three, Jaden McDaniels gets a steal and a dunk at the other end. And soon enough, it's up to 14. And so, you know, there's just a different level of maturity that comes with being in these situations, having, you know, gotten a couple battle scars and been burned before, that they've learned from, and that's why they're in the position they are now.
And one final thought, to show what a grind the Stanley Cup playoffs are, or the NBA playoffs, we're just winding down the final game of the second round. The teams that advanced to the conference finals have won exactly 50% of the games they need to win the title. That's what's so crazy about it, is that, you know, the Pacers, the Timberwolves, and the Knicks are halfway there. They need to find a way to win 8 more games. It's crazy.
That's right. I think that's what, you know, was so remarkable about last season, is like you get through that Denver series and it's like, oh, you're only halfway to the title.
Right.
You know, for as exhausting as that Denver series was, you're leaving it and it's like, oh, we got to win 8 more games now. Okay.
Right. eight more. Again,
yeah, like this time around feels so different, because coming out of this Golden State series, they just feel like they're in such a better place physically, mentally. They don't feel burned out, worn down by the playoffs so far. I think they're in as good of a spot as they could possibly be in, you know, from that standpoint.
Yeah. Well, Chris, good to visit with you. And here we go. Western Conference Finals starting Tuesday night. It'll be Denver or Oklahoma City, and we'll know that late tomorrow afternoon.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, a new book coming out on June 3rd?
June 3rd, official release date. Yeah, so, you know, if they're in the finals, the book will be out right before game one, actually. Game one is set for June 5th, and the book comes out June 3rd. So, you know, some reading material before before a potential Timberwolves finals run.
Well, and if it goes that way, it might be the greatest book release planning of all time.
from your lips to God's ears, Steve. I don't control that, but we'll see what happens here. I'm not trying to get too excited yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, and pre-orders wherever you buy books.
Yep, exactly. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstores, all that. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Steve.
There he is, Chris Hine, covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune, has a brand new book called Ant, coming out June 3rd. Quick break, we'll have the weather, get you up to date on the headlines. We've got the Lynx, their season underway. They beat Paige Beckers and Dallas in the season opener. They'll be in L.A. before they open the season against Big D on Wednesday night. You've got the Frost playing for the title again this year, the Loons tonight, and the Twins and Brewers. We'll get into all of that coming up here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There is a lot going on in sports. Hard to even know where to start. Let's go to the major. PGA, Quail Hollow in Charlotte. Sunny but windy. Players hate that. The pros, the men and the women, they don't mind the heat. They don't mind the humidity. They just hate the wind. And things have really tightened up. You got a handful of players, including world number one Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, who's in contention in just about every major. They're at 7 under par right now. And there's a ton of people right around the top of the leaderboard as well at Quail Hollow. But Scheffler and DeChambeau in a large group at 7 under par leading the way on moving day at the PGA. And Lindsey Brown is our producer. And Lindsey, you play golf. I've played golf. Mm-hmm. Not very well in the last 10 or 15 years. But the way DeChambeau swings, and you know, I think to compete in majors, particularly the Masters, the PGA, and the U.S. Open, you almost have to be a long bomber. Mm-hmm. But DeChambeau, every time he swings the club, it's kind of like, is he going to leave his feet on this swing? I mean, talk about from the heels.
Yeah.
It's insane.
He's the personification of, I'm not here for a long time, but I'm here for a good time. Right?
Perfect.
Yeah. And there's a few times where, like, I've been known to launch off the tee box myself. It just kind of comes with the hockey territory. It's all in the hips, just like Chubbs taught us so many years ago. But, you know, if you don't have the right spikes in, or if there's a little bit of moisture on the grass there, you can swing out of your shoes sometimes. And it just seems like there's a high probability. I'm shocked that he doesn't have, like, some basketball ankle above shoes on. Like, let's get this guy just settled into the ground. But then again, if that happens, he's probably going to tear something. There has to be some give, just given how hard he's swinging.
Well, in Tiger Woods, you know, there's a car accident, all the other injuries along the way, and there was a talk in that incredible run from end of 96 through 2007, or where it's the greatest run in golf history, men's golf history for sure.
Yeah, and he was jumping out of planes at that time, Steve. There's a really good long-form article on ESPN from like 10 years ago that talks all about him chasing basically his father's respect and what he put his body through, not just as you're talking about on the golf course, but he was putting himself through Navy SEAL workouts.
Right, and I think to a certain extent it has paid the price for all that stuff off the course. And certainly the car accident didn't help, where he almost died.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, where it was Genesis Invitational in L.A., you know, he was lucky to live through that. Almost lost his leg in that.
Yeah.
But there were people in that run that were just saying, he's swinging so hard. How is this sustainable? And he put together maybe the greatest single 10-year run in golf history. Jack played longer. Annika played longer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are the greats, if you will. And Tiger's right there. But, man, and then DeChambeau is just, it's almost another level. He swings harder than Tiger.
Yes.
Which is hard to believe.
And they're both revolutionaries for their generation, because what Tiger Woods was, what Roger Federer, what Serena Williams, you have these people that kind of had the access of high performance and then big time leaps in technology and medicine, where they're able to elongate their career and sometimes weaponize the gifts that they were given in their bodies to find a different level. And that's what Bryson's doing. I remember I wasn't a huge fan of his. I still really am not, because his old style with the hat and the newsy hat and just it rubbed me the wrong way. But when he had that idea of making all of his clubs the same length, I'm like, okay, I can get on board with that. I can understand that from a logical level. And so I'm not sure what his career total will end up being. It certainly won't approach Tiger's, but he'll go down as the tinkering king probably for golf. And probably pushing the limits of human performance as we've been able to take that even to another level. Like, at some point, we start breaking down.
Yeah. Yeah, and he is in phenomenal shape, and he's right there. By the way, Scotty made bogey. He's one back. DeChambeau, Noren Vegas, and Riley at 7-under. Scheffler, one back, but it is a clogged leaderboard. Should be a fun Sunday at the PGA at Quail Hollow. Links out of the gate. They win. They beat the Dallas Stars. Nafisa Collier, 34 points. MVP talk already. Why not? Lynx will be in L.A. tomorrow. Return home to take on the Dallas Wings. Paige Beckers, 10 points in her debut, 7 rebounds. But Nafisa Collier, not getting the attention she deserves. There's all this attention on other players. Caitlin Clark, wonderful college career, record-breaking college career, wonderful rookie season.
Triple-double today.
Nafisa Collier is about as good as it gets right now in the WNBA.
Yeah, and her unspokenness not only carries in her WNBA career, but she also went to UConn, and when you talk about all the greatness that's come out of that school, you don't mention Fee, which is crazy, and it's a testament to what they've been able to accomplish. But, you know, I don't mind being the underdog that nobody really talks about. I don't even think underdog's the right name to put on there. But I don't mind being the ignored one, the middle child of the WNBA. I'll sneak up on you, right? You got to think that we'll just sneak up on them, just like they did to the finals last year. If Kathy Engelbert, the WNBA commissioner, wasn't wearing the New York skyline in her pantsuit, we could have had another championship in this darn city, right?
Yeah.
That could have been us.
Sure. Yeah, and they're going into the season in a great spot. Great coach, superstar, MVP talent leading the way, and a chip on their shoulder. They've got the big three in their favor. PWHL, Frost, Ottawa, for all the marbles. The Frost could come out of the gate, win the first two titles. That's pretty cool, considering they had a mediocre regular season in defense of their title. And we're fortunate to get in.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're fortunate to make it through the gauntlet a little bit. They keep matching up with Toronto and finding a way to stave off elimination. But, you know, it's a classic example. They're kind of like the Wolves this year, if you think about it, Steve, where that regular season wasn't very consistent. But, you know, you're playing the right way at the right time. But I'm just double-checking the Ottawa Charge roster, because I have a few close friends on these teams. And one of my really good buddies, Natalie Snodgrass, who was one of the top players for the Minnesota Whitecaps before that league folded and turned into the PWHL, essentially is on that team. So I'm going to have to be cheering for her and obviously everybody on the Frost that I know. But it's been a great season, I know, for the league. And they announced 2 expansion teams as well. And so Minnesota dominance, does it remain to be continued? We'll see.
Yeah. Can they win another one? Stanley Cup playoffs, Winnipeg, Dallas, Jets on the brink. Stars could advance with a win tonight. And then tomorrow, we got to talk about this real quick. Florida, Toronto, can the Maple Leafs pull it off at home and advance?
No. They have to lose in game 7, and I think it's shining up to be like Mitch Marner's heading into free agency. That basically, this is the last final stand for Shanahan's putting together of their Toronto Maple Leafs. That's the president, Mike Shanahan. And I just think Florida is going to bring it. I just think Florida is that spoil the party. But you were saying earlier, Steve, you think this is Toronto's year. But you also said the Raiders are going to make the playoffs. So I don't know what you've been on lately.
Yeah. Raiders. Raiders is a wild card's in play. I'm not. I believe in Sneaky Pete. I believe in Sneaky Pete. Yeah. What else we got here? Twins. Brewers later. Twins on a tear. We'll get into that in more detail. Oh, by the way, Loons. They are home tonight. Yes. The Loons will take on St. Louis tonight at home on the Midway. Allianz Field, 7:30 start there. Loons have had a nice season so far. We'll get into the Twins and Brewers in a moment. Twins and Brewers, game two of the three-game set in Milwaukee. And it sounded like a lot of fun at the ballpark, and it was really fun if you were a Twins fan last night because they won the opener. And here's some of the highlights from that 3-0 win behind Joe Ryan. Twins got on the board early.
Shot to right field for a base hit. Larnach strolls home, and Ty France is off the schneid. He snaps an 0-for-16 with an RBI single to right field, and the Twins lead 1-0.
And you can hear the din in the background. Big crowd at Miller Park. The roof was closed. The Twins would add the lead in the first.
And this ball lined back up the middle for a base hit. Picked up in center by Churio. Here comes Ryan Jeffers. He'll score without a throw. Cody Clemens comes through with a clothesline to center field, and the Twins have a 2-0 lead in the first.
And that was pretty much all they would need. We wouldn't know that until later. The Twins would add a run in the second. They're up 3-0. And then it was pretty much the Joe Ryan show for the first six innings. As a matter of fact, he was on the roll. He struck out six in a row, including this one in the bottom of the third.
The step, the pitch, swung and a miss. He struck him out. A little pump of the fist from Joe Ryan. It took a little doing, but another 1-2-3 inning with three strikeouts, and that's six consecutive strikeouts for Joe Ryan.
Yeah, just incredible. The bullpen takes over, and the Twins get another win. They have won 12 games in a row. They've surged to third in the AL Central at 25-20. Detroit leading the way at 30-16. Best record in the major leagues right now. So the Twins trying to run down the hot Tigers. Cleveland, they're just a half game in front of the Twins at the moment. In second, then the Twins in third. The Royals have fallen to fourth. Then, of course, the White Sox bringing up the rear again. Twins and Brewers. We'll hear from the manager following the news and weather at 5 o'clock. Rocco Baldelli on the pitching. Joe Ryan and the streak. The news not so good, though. Carlos Correa in concussion protocol. Byron Buxton won't be in the lineup again tonight. I will learn more about that as we count you down to the first pitch a little over an hour from now. From Milwaukee. Once again, the Twins and Brewers coming up. Following that news and weather, we'll go into the writer's corner. Yes, Jez Myers, who covers the Wild, he's covering the Twins this weekend for the Pioneer Press. We'll visit with Jess here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.